This recording is brought to you by Whitworth University. To hear additional programs, please visit www.whitworth.edu/podcast.
It is my pleasure to introduce Whitworth's 18th president, Dr. Beck A. Taylor, as today's convocation speaker. Dr. Taylor, or Beck, as we know him, now enters his third year as president of Whitworth University. He came to us as a former dean of the Brock School of Business at Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama, an accomplished teacher and scholar in economics, and a distinguished community servant concerned about the problems of childhood poverty. Already, we have come to appreciate Beck's deep commitment to Christ, his friendly, welcoming spirit, his commitment to excellent education, and his dedication to Whitworth's mission. In his first 2 years at Whitworth, Beck has led student, faculty, and staff representatives in a planning endeavor, culminating in the Whitworth 2021 Courage at the Crossroads Vision and Strategic Plan. Through this vision, Beck has affirmed his commitment to conviction and openness, pursuit of truth that is not impeded by fear, and fulfillment in all that we do of the university's mission to honor God, follow Christ, and serve humanity. Beck is married to Julie Taylor, who holds a master's degree in educational psychology, and they are working together to raise three wonderful children, Zach, Lauren, and Chloe. And of course, Beck is an avid athlete, courageous in pursuit of the perfect dunk. As we convene our 123rd year together, please join me in welcoming Whitworth's 18th president, Dr. Beck Taylor.
Good morning, Whitworth. Dick Mandeville looks pretty good all dressed up, doesn't he? He may look official, but he has one job and one job only this morning. If I fall, he's supposed to catch me. So be ready. It is a wonderful thing this morning to watch our community stream into the field house. What a glorious day the Lord has given us to celebrate the 123rd academic year here at Whitworth. Opening convocation is a very important and symbolic statement about our community here at Whitworth, and it's wonderful to see so many of you have chosen to celebrate the beginning of this academic year here together. The sights and sounds of this annual event remind us of some very important things. Chiefly, our students are here today, and it's great to see all of you all. We are reminded by your participation of Whitworth's core mission, the mind and heart education of our students. That is why Whitworth exists. Students lie at the very heart of our community, whether they're traditional undergraduate students or continuing studies students or graduate students. So a part of our purpose here today is to reaffirm and recommit ourselves to that noble purpose of a mind and heart education for you, students. I want to add a special welcome to our newest students. If you are a new transfer student, or a new continuing studies student, or a new graduate student at Whitworth, would you please rise and let us welcome you today? Is the class of 2016 in the house today? Yeah. Would you, new freshmen, please rise and let us welcome you? And finally, if you're a returning student to Whitworth, go ahead and stand up and let us clap for you too. Welcome back. I see our staff and faculty assembled in front of me in all of their academic splendor, wearing the colors of their various alma maters. It's great to see all of you all. Students, would you help me in thanking our staff and faculty for the wonderful job that they're doing? And of course, Whitworth's external constituencies are represented here today. We have friends and donors, various alumni, auxiliary members, pastors, community members, parents, public servants. These are people who give life to this institution through their steadfast prayers, significant leadership, volunteer service, and generous financial giving. Thank you also for being here. And finally, our university trustees provide wise leadership and ultimately safeguard Whitworth's distinctive mission through sound governance, through thorough planning and oversight, and of course, through generously offering their time and wisdom and financial resources. This morning, trustees Debbie Cazzetto, Ken Roberts, Stu Stiles, and John Sowers, along with Bill Fix, led us in this morning. Trustees, would you please stand and let us honor you this morning? Thank you. Welcome. Thank you. The scripture passages that Molly Huff read so well this morning remind us of one very important thing. Genuine faith produces and nurtures and is indeed made more complete through action. Although we spend important time at Whitworth studying the theological roots and implications of faith, faith was never intended by God to be simply a heady exercise, something to be discussed only in cloistered communities or in the halls of the ivory tower. Indeed, much of the current criticism levied at Christ's church today is centered on how followers of Christ either do not act in ways that are consistent with Christ's teachings, or how the actions of Christians can often distort or even mock the true admonitions of Christ to live in grace and in truth. No, genuine faith in Christ compels us to be his witnesses in a fallen world, and that witness is often made apparent through our actions. In James chapter 2, we are reminded that faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Whitworth's own mission statement, a statement that has guided us for decades, acknowledges this truth when it says that we are to provide our diverse student body with an education of mind and heart, equipping graduates to honor God, follow Christ, and serve humanity. If our mission statement did not acknowledge the tension sometimes present in being directed by mind and heart, or if it did not include, in addition to honoring God and following Christ, the imperative to serve humanity, well, our mission here at Whitworth would be incomplete. In fact, I would argue that our mission without these things would be dead. What does it mean for us then as a university to be compelled by and animated by a mission that calls us to action? Consider too the Whitworth 2021 vision. That vision, as we were reminded so well at last fall's convocation, calls us to be a university that leads with intellectual competence, moral courage, and deep compassion, what we call the three C's. That vision embodies the notion that our graduates and all of us will act with the competence and skill that the university education provides, that we will pursue justice and be merciful in our needy world, and that we will do so courageously. We will do so even when the odds are stacked against us, even when we are ridiculed because of our actions, and even when we are uncertain about how our efforts might ultimately make a real difference. In Whitworth's capstone general education course, Core 350, one of the recurrent themes during the course is how, as we as educated citizens, might serve as a voice for the voiceless, as advocates for those who have no advocates. Jesus' ministry was centered on the marginalized and the oppressed and the voiceless within his community. So important is this work in God's priorities that Christ himself makes special dispensation for those who feed the hungry and clothe the naked and visit the sick and the imprisoned and house the homeless, saying, "Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did that to me." So I will repeat my claim I made earlier. If Whitworth is not about using the privilege and power that come from the education that we deliver and receive to act through faith on behalf of those around us who are invisible and forgotten, whose needs are ones we can provide if we act with competence, courage, and compassion. If we are not about using the incredible gifts of abundance all around, including our material, intellectual, emotional, physical, and spiritual resources, to be voices for the voiceless, then Whitworth's mission is as good as dead. Now, by the grace of God, and because of the important work that so many of you in this room do, I'm happy to say that Whitworth's mission is not dead, but alive and thriving. You students, you come to Whitworth with service in your DNA. I'm so grateful for that. Our staff and faculty spend countless hours modeling Christian action in the community, often partnering with students to be the hands and feet of Christ to those left behind in our society. Whitworth's alumni who live all over the globe use their mind and heart education to serve humanity in important ways, to be voices for the voiceless. Let me give you just a few examples. And I do this today not to pat ourselves on the back or to imply that our work here is complete, but simply to encourage us to continue the good actions that we are about here at Whitworth. For example, Whitworth's Costa Rica Center has a very special geographical setting. The campus is near a residential area with about 80 middle-class and upper-middle-class families surrounding the campus. On the other side of campus, there are 7 families who are considered technically squatters because they have built their homes on public property but have received some legal status from the local government there in Costa Rica. The students, staff, and faculty at the Costa Rica Center are trying to love all of their neighbors, but especially the poor families. In the first 2 years of Whitworth's operations there, our people have tried to demonstrate the love of Christ in a variety of important ways. Students have offered an after-school recreation and tutoring program for the squatters' children. Our students have partnered with a Mennonite woman in town who has come and offered workshops to these families on how to make and sell Christmas cards using the flowers found around the Costa Rica campus. We are using our influence in the area to urge the local water authority to provide potable water to these families. And our center director, Lindy Scott, tells me that one of his personal dreams is to bring the center's more affluent neighbors together with its poor neighbors. And this dream is now becoming a reality as both groups come to the center to receive English language education. Another example, Whitworth Senior Miklit Kalibisa is a voice for those who have been silenced through oppression. Through her work with World Relief, Miklit works with refugees who have had to flee their homes under life-threatening conditions. She helps these families acclimate and regain their quality of life here in America. And Miklit works with them to overcome language barriers, to find housing, and to work on jobs and opportunity. Our own faculty member, Jenny Holsinger, has found a similar calling to do work with Global Neighborhoods, a local nonprofit assisting refugees and immigrants. She serves as a member of the board of directors to help raise funds to teach refugees and immigrants life skills and to provide workforce development. Another faculty member, Roberta Wilburn, works with at-risk youth and schools to improve student achievement, particularly among those students who are identified as destined for poverty or incarceration. Through her work with leadership development for Children of the Dream, Roberta provides tutoring and mentoring for parents and teachers. Staff member Brian Davenport works with undocumented students to help them navigate the complex and, in fact, often unjust immigration system in this country. And 2 nights ago, I watched on national television as 2004 Whitworth alumna and last year's commencement speaker, Jenna Lee Nardella, took the stage after First Lady Michelle Obama to give the benediction at the Democratic National Convention. Jenna's nonprofit called Blood Water Mission, formed with the Christian rock band Jars of Clay, serves hundreds of communities and tens of thousands of people in Africa, providing health care and ministry to those with AIDS and supporting the building of infrastructure to provide clean water. Before giving the closing prayer, Jenna said, and I'm quoting, "I am honored to represent the thousands of people of faith who work tirelessly for justice, health, and healing around the globe." You see, Whitworth's mission and the teachings of Christ are embodied in these examples of service to the voiceless in our community and indeed around the world. And these are but just a few examples of the important missional work that we are doing together as the Whitworth community. Praise be to God. Whitworth's mission is alive and well, but there's more to do. This summer, residents of Spokane were once again reminded of the ugly underbelly of our society and culture. And we were once again forced to confront the reality besieging some of the most vulnerable and most marginalized in our community when a police raid known as Operation Red Light brought down 8 brothels that were selling sex in our community. Also arrested during the operation was the creator and the proprietor of a local website where local prostitutes and their customers connected online. Many of the young girls and boys, women and men, who sell their bodies at the direction of others are victims of the sex trafficking industry. These victims are sold, literally sold into slavery against their will, then bought and sold again and again and again, and often transported across international and state lines to make money for their captors. The trafficking of human beings is more ubiquitous in our society than we would like to imagine or believe. More generally, human trafficking is the illegal trade of human beings for the purposes of commercial sexual exploitation and/or forced labor. It is the fastest growing criminal industry in the world today and is the second largest, most profitable illegal industry in the world, besides drug trafficking. Many of us who are partially aware of this issue may be misinformed about the proximity of the problem. For example, I did not know before this summer's police action that Washington is the highest trafficked state in the country, and that Spokane is considered a prime entry point for human smuggling, particularly for underage prostitution. According to a 2007 study from Washington State University, there are likely more than 500 sex slaves in Spokane on any given day. And this is the part we would perhaps like to ignore. Much of the trafficking and abuse that occurs in Spokane happens only blocks from Whitworth's campus. One of the busted brothels this summer was located on the corner of Francis and Nevada. Listen to the horrible details given by one victim in May. A woman here in Spokane told investigators that she was captive for the last year against her will, sold for sex, and forced to take methamphetamines at home and in motels across the Spokane region. The woman told investigators that she was taken to various motels in Spokane, put in a room, and told which sex acts to perform. She said that the arrangements were made through online ads on Craigslist and Backpage.com. The woman said that she was repeatedly forced to take drugs and forced to have sex with many, many men, including her captors, often at gunpoint. Now, fortunately, the Whitworth community has already been engaged in efforts to raise awareness and prompt action to address this horrible reality. Our own Pam Parker has worked for years to raise awareness of this issue, particularly among Christian evangelicals. Through her trips with students here at Whitworth to Thailand, she focuses time on raising the students' awareness of the global sex trafficking industry and to think of the solutions through the lenses of social justice and Christian faith. Recent Whitworth graduate Siri Carlson received a Fulbright to teach in Thailand this year, and some of her efforts will be around raising awareness and working to combat this terrible issue in that country. In addition to Professor Parker's work, our campus chapter of International Justice Mission has worked at Whitworth and in our community to educate and to inform, as well as to seek solutions. There are others as well in the Whitworth community who are focusing their efforts on this worthy mission and issue. So for all of these reasons, I was thrilled when ASWU President Molly Huff visited my office this summer to begin a collaboration that would unite and rally the Whitworth community, along with many other organizations, to put an intense light on human trafficking and to call our community to action. In fact, Molly and her student colleagues have made this their top priority for this year, and I'm excited to partner with them. And I hope you will be too. You'll hear more from Molly in just a moment. But as I thought about how I could support this effort going on our campus this year, I began to search for information and specifically for people who could inform and consult us in this work. It didn't take long for me to learn the name of Min Deng. Min's full biography is printed in your program, so I won't take the time to read her many accomplishments and to describe her work as an articulate and passionate advocate for the victims of human trafficking. But I encourage you to take a look at that after convocation is over. Min has graciously agreed to be my guest today, and she will be telling parts of her story and working with our student leaders on campus today to help us launch this effort. In particular, all of you will have the opportunity to hear Min speak today at 3 o'clock in the hub in the ABC conference rooms. But this morning, I'd like to invite Min to come to the podium, please, Min, and introduce herself and her story to you. Would you all please welcome Min Deng? Welcome. Min, we are delighted to have you on our campus today. Min and I are new friends. We had the opportunity to meet together this morning for about an hour in my office, and I am already excited about what Min can offer our community as we rally around this particular issue. Min, you have a very compelling story. Would you mind sharing just a brief account of how you became a victim and a survivor of human trafficking and how you and what your experience was?
Absolutely. So my name is Min Deng. I like to start by letting folks know that I was born here in the United States. Oftentimes people think that victims and survivors of human trafficking are only born abroad. I was born in the Central Valley of California to refugee Vietnamese parents. My experience of human trafficking, for me, actually is categorized under being a survivor of child abuse. My perpetrators were actually my parents. From the very beginning, I was enslaved to my parents and born into a family full of what I call emotional poverty. We'll talk a little bit about how poverty can impact human trafficking, but I think that the emphasis for me has been on emotional poverty. The hole in my parents' heart is what led them to use me and to sell me. So while I was abused by my father and mother from 0 to 10, the human trafficking didn't actually begin until I was 10. And as you can imagine, the story that Beck shared of that one young woman, multiply that by 10 years. My parents sold me from the ages of 10 to 20, and it wasn't until college that I was allowed to branch out. And since I have some back information, I know Beck's next question, which is about my freedom. And I would say that one of the aspects of my freedom has been around my parents' greed. It was their greed that helped me get out. They wanted me to go to college. So while I was being sold on the streets, in brothels, in strip clubs, online, through Vietnamese magazines, I was going to school and I was a straight A student. My life was threatened and I was very, very, very ashamed. I had to hide what I was going through, thinking that it was an identity of my own. And so today I'm not voiceless. And part of my voice has been due to teachers. I was loved, I was very obedient, thanks to my parents. And teachers love obedient kids. So that was a huge disparity for me, really, to be loved. And I also think that going to college, I went to UC Berkeley, and as Berkeley has its reputation for being an activist community, I really got into that. I joined social justice organizations, and I really learned about it's okay to fight injustice. It's okay to fight for my own justice in my own life and not only think about justice for others.
Thank you. As a campus that is responding to this issue this year and mobilizing around this issue, what brief words, and this is really why you're here today, is to talk to us in several venues about how we can organize ourselves. But to this audience, men, what would you say are things that we should be thinking about as we try to coordinate around efforts to really be an action-oriented community around this particular issue?
As I told Beck earlier, my theme for today is educate, activate, organize. So today you're going to educate yourselves a little bit about the issue. Some of you already know it. And I think not just educating yourself on the facts, but educating yourself about the stuff no one wants to hear about. And I think that includes the emotional deprivation, the emotional profits, the fact that my parents felt some gratification in dominating another human being, really being willing to learn the ins and outs about this issue. Activate your hearts and your minds. Really figure out how each of you are personally connected to this issue. Is it that your 11-year-old sister might be picked up off the street? Is it that your favorite restaurant has workers there who are actually being sold? And I think organize. Social justice work is down and dirty. There's some nitty-gritty work to be done. And I'd like to talk about what you can do locally. I think oftentimes we get idealistic and think really globally and have a lot that we want to accomplish. But really, what are some small, tangible outcomes we can see here in the local community? And I also think that very quickly, if everyone took out their cell phone, there's a National Human Trafficking Hotline. It's 1-888-3737-888. You can call for resources, organizations in your area. You can also report suspected human trafficking. And that national hotline is run by Polaris Project, and they'll funnel your call to the appropriate agency. They have received increasing numbers of calls because citizens like you have kept that number in your phone. And you call as soon as you have a question or as soon as you have a suspicion. We're all on our phones all the time these days, right? So it's a really simple thing. It's 1-888-3737-888.
Would you all please thank Min Dang for her testimony this morning? Min, thank you. Good to see you. I'm going to give you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Min. We are privileged to have Min on our campus today, and she'll be leading a number of workshops with student leaders. And as I said, this afternoon at 3 o'clock, if you would like to hear more of Min's story, that'll be in the Hub ABC conference room. Well, as you heard, spearheading much of this activity this year is our student body, led by our student body president, Molly Huff. Molly's going to run the world someday, and I just hope that she remembers me when she does. I'm really encouraged by Molly's sincere leadership on this issue. Molly, would you please come to the podium and share just briefly about how the activities planned for this year will help to coordinate around this issue? And while you do come to the podium, that's your invitation. Let me publicly thank Molly for the vision and the excitement and the energy that she's bringing to this issue. Thanks, Molly.
I'm going to be reading one more verse to you guys today. It's also out of the message, and it's James 1, 22 through 25. It says, "Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Do not let the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they even look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and then sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or a woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. We have been encouraged to enter into courageous conversation with one another, to dream and to have vision of what could be. But conversation and dreams and vision without action mean nothing. So I'm up here for two reasons. The first, and to challenge each and every one of you today, that we do not be a university that merely gets stuck in conversation, but that we are constantly pursuing action. And that we have the vision to look outside of ourselves, because that is when we come alive. That is when we come alive, and that is how we are designed to live with one another. However, change does not happen individually, but it happens collectively. As Jesus changed the world with 12 disciples, now imagine what God could do to enable us with almost 3,000 undergrad students, including faculty and staff. And then imagine all of them uniting together to be participants of change and not just receiving it. So when you feel tired or stressed or that you can't give anymore, and then you see the road ahead and the trials and tribulations that are to come, because creating change is not easy, I hope that you are able to look to your right and then look to your left and know that you are not alone. Faculty and staff, you have the incredible opportunity this year to partner with students in developing change and then living out the rewards to that change. Students, you have the ability to make change that will be here long after you graduate within these 4 years. And this is the part of looking outside of yourselves to do that. Community, alumni, trustees, you can rally and unite with these students because there is power in numbers and there is power in passion. And secondly, we have the chance to put on a fresh pair of eyes this year, to no longer see people as strangers, but that I can see Min and say that she is my sister. And I can look at every single one of you and know that you are my brothers and sisters. And then I can say confidently that I would fight for you. This is not someone else's fight. This is our fight. The issue of human trafficking is on our doorstep, just as Beck mentioned, happening blocks away from Whitworth University. So let us step up and speak out. Let us be a university that is passionate and not passive with one another. So here is something that we can do together. On September 22nd, the Not For Sale Academy World Tour is coming to Whitworth University. By simply taking the initiative to show up to this event, you are already creating change by educating yourself. And then once you are educated, you can then be empowered to take on these small amounts of responsibility in your everyday life to create even more change. Again, as it said in James, act on what you hear. Whitworth University, let's continue to be a people of action this year. Thank you.
Thank you. Friends, today we have been reminded of a very important part of Whitworth's mission, to prepare all of us to serve the world through our actions. We've heard from two articulate champions for the voiceless who are trapped in what must seem like hopeless circumstances. We have been inspired by the stories of so many in our community who serve the needs of the marginalized and the oppressed. And we've been encouraged by the words of Jesus himself, who compels us to co-labor with him as he redeems the world. Whether through our study or work or teaching this year, or through our service in our community and indeed around the world, let us be faithful to the mission that calls us together this morning, this year, and indeed for all time, to honor God, to follow Christ, and to serve humanity. Amen.